Somebody said something to me this morning. We're going to continue with Lost and Found. And those of you who have some art background, you already recognize this, don't you? Not the whole picture, but the hands, right? We know what that is. And as I was preparing this week, I really do take time and consider and pray about every part of the message, even including the PPT and what's on that. And I felt like the Lord gave me inspiration for that. And this morning, we're going to continue our Lost and Found series. Next week is our last message in the series, and it's fitting that we will bring it to a conclusion on Easter Sunday. But this morning, we're going to continue, and we're going to talk about the two Adams. Of everything that we've looked at in our preceding services, this is the least, this one's the easiest to figure out all on our own, isn't it? The two Adams. So this morning we're going to come to the word of the Lord as we look at Lost and Found, the two Adams. We've looked at the three gardens, the Garden of Eden, that garden, that broken, sinful garden in the wilderness where Jesus faced temptation, and then the Garden of Gethsemane, where he fought that final battle and said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And he won for us the victory. In a way, as we have mentioned before, the next day, as he went through the night, the trial, and then taking his cross and then being crucified, for Jesus, the battle had already been won, had it not? Jesus won the battle that night in the garden with his will. What a lesson for us, brothers and sisters. The battle for us as well, it is won with our wills first. When we choose, God, I choose you and I choose your way. Then when we are out in the world, if you will, then when we are facing them, those temptations, then when we are facing those decisions, it is so much easier for us, isn't it? Because we have already, with God, on our knees, in prayer, with our will, we have said, God, I want you. And when you and I choose God and his ways first, then we are armed. We are strengthened. We are all the more ready to face the action, if you will, to face the temptation when it comes ahead of us. And we see that with Jesus. Then last week we looked at the three trees. We looked at the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. We looked at the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden. And then we looked at the tree of Calvary, on which the curse that came to us from the tree of knowledge in the first garden was broken and was paid for on the last tree, the third tree, because the Bible says, we read it in Galatians 3:13, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. And Jesus took everything that should have been ours, and he went and was hung on that third tree. We just mentioned in passing that it is by no chance, nothing by chance with our Lord Jesus Christ, that his crown was a crown of thorns, was it not? And thorns and thistles were the result of the curse on creation, right? That's what it says. When God talks with Adam and Eve in the garden, he says, the ground will be cursed because of you, because of you. God curses no one, if you will, in that way. Curse comes to us because of sin, because of the choices that we make. And this wonderful creation that God had made for us was also brought under a curse. When we begin to look at the Bible and what creation is under because of man's choice, I don't know about you, but it kind of blows my mind, if you will. In Romans 8, it says that all of creation is groaning. I don't even understand that. That in some way there is a response, there's an understanding is not the right word, but in all of creation, in created beings, in animals, in all of this, a creation groaning, waiting for the time when you and I will be redeemed. Because when we are fully redeemed, body, soul, and spirit, then comes also the redemption of God's creation as well. It's mysterious. We don't know it all, but Romans 8 tells us, alludes to that. And in Revelation, we read about the new heaven and the new earth when all is made new. And so we have touched on some of those things, but this morning we're going to look at the two Adams. Very little guesswork here. The first Adam is the first Adam, right? And when I say first Adam, I mean men and women both, because both sinned. But it's called, the Bible says first Adam, so I'm going to say first Adam also. The first Adam in the Garden of Eden. Remember that Adam and Eve had full provision, full fellowship. They had eternal life, body, soul, and spirit. And then they exercised their free will, right? And it was their free will in personal independence from God. And when we talk about it in this way, this is really important for us as we look at this morning. It's very meaningful for us this morning. In personal independence apart from God. You see, God didn't just make the Garden of Eden and all of these things and say, here you go, Adam and Eve. Here, I've provided it for you. Now you're on your own. You can make it on your own. That is a lie from the enemy. And there are many people who believe that still today about God. They believe, okay, God made the world, but then he kind of said, here, you're on your own. Now do it your own way. God never planned for man nor his creation to function apart from dependence upon himself. The Bible says that he is the creator. He is the life giver. And it is only through fellowship and union with the one who brings life that we too have life. Only in that way. And that is why, as I said last week, don't get upset that there's only one way to God and that there's only one way to life. Be thankful that there is a way to God and that there is a way back to have life again. And so when they chose personal independence apart from God, they lost everything, didn't they? They lost everything for themselves. They lost everything for creation. They lost everything for all of their descendants. That means for me and for you as well. They blew it in a big way, right? They blew it in a big way. And so this is the first Adam. The last Adam, or sometimes the Bible says the second Adam, or the new Adam, you'll find that those in the Bible as well, is Jesus, our last Adam. Praise the Lord. I've been so excited about this message as I've been preparing this week. And as I've been preparing and thinking on this, actually I was thinking and preparing even last week, my heart just so many times overflowed with joy and thanksgiving for what the last Adam has done for us. And I hope it will for you this morning as well. Our last Adam is Jesus, who came from heaven to our earth to find and to regain what we had lost. There couldn't be a more timely topic as we come into Resurrection Sunday, as we come into Easter. Now, we don't need to spend a lot of time talking about the first Adam, because we've been talking about him the last 2 weeks. But let's just read just a few verses, and then we're going to go into talking more about our second Adam this morning. We know that he was fashioned from the dust of the earth, because that's where he came from, right? Fashioned from the dust of the earth in a very personal way by God. And he was lifeless. He was made from the dust, and he was lifeless until God breathed into him the breath of lives, plural, body, soul, and spirit, right? Body, soul, and spirit. So God didn't just make him alive in one way. God made him alive in the same way that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit were alive, right? Body, soul, and spirit. And so we read here in Genesis 5, 1 and 2, these are the family records of the descendants of Adam. On the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created the male and female. When they were created, he blessed them and called them man. So both man and woman, they were called man. This was God's creation. I want you to see one thing in passing this morning. He blessed them. He blessed them. This is God's default position in relation to mankind. Did you know that? This is God's default position. This is what he wants to do. This is his heart for you. This is his heart for me. He blesses us. He blesses us. This is the heart of God. So God gives him of himself, and he makes man in his own image. Notice that. It's stressed there. He made him in the likeness of God. And then after Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve had other children. We know that Cain and Abel were also were born in the likeness of Adam and Eve, but Cain slew his brother Abel in a fit of jealousy and rage. And then we sort of set aside, God doesn't talk much about Cain in this early part, because he's focusing on the line through which Jesus, the last Adam, will one day come, right? So look with me at what comes next. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness. Wow. Hey, men, can you imagine being a new dad at age 130? It's about to kill you right now, isn't it? Just imagine that. Just imagine that. But remember that this was before the full effects of sin on our physical bodies. And so apparently they were still very, very youthful and vigorous and young. So he had a son. Look with me at the word. So carefully chosen. He had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. If we stopped right there and said 930 years, we would say, wow, what blessing, right? Imagine this type of long life. But this verse ends with, and he died. So as we look at this and as we think about this, here is Adam, and he and Eve give birth to Seth. And notice very carefully, in his own likeness, in his own image, or you can say in their own likeness, in their own image. Why do we see that? Because they pass on to Seth what they themselves are. This is the law of DNA, the law of genetics, the law of nature. We pass on what we are. But we also see in Adam the fruition of the effects of sin. He dies. He dies at age 930, because without a life-giving connection with the living God, he returns to dust, because that's what he was. God always lifts us up. God always lifts us above. But without the connection to God, Adam returned from whence he had come, which was to dust. Praise the Lord that one day we will not return to dust, but we will rise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see this. Seth is born. Let's go a little bit further, verses 6 through 8. And what do we see here? When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, he lived 807 years. Let's see. Let's work out our... He lived 912 years. And then, what did he do? What happened to him? He died. So let me ask you something which you know already, but what we're looking at this morning, it's good for us to look at this again and remember this. Was Seth ever in the garden? No. All births came outside of the Garden of Eden. Even Cain and Abel, it was outside of the garden. Here comes Seth. Apparently, when we read other verses, a man that was after the heart of God, because Seth had a son named Enosh. And then if we read a little bit further, it says, at this time or earlier, it says, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So this beautiful picture of, though they were in sin and fallen, still there was a heart for God. And that seems to be Seth and Enosh. But Seth dies also. Why does Seth die? Seth wasn't in the garden. Seth didn't choose to eat from the tree that God said don't eat. But Seth dies also. Why does Seth die? You know why Seth dies. Seth dies because he has inherited from his mother and his father everything that they are. And they are now limited. They are sinful. They are physically broken. They have no spiritual life in them to pass on to Seth. They have no eternal physical life in them to pass on to Seth. They can only pass on what they are and what they have. And what Adam had to pass on to Seth was a limited, broken, imperfect physical life. Now, much better than our lives, right? He lived 900 and something years. Nevertheless, what happened? He died. He died. Why do we see this? Look with me. Romans 5:12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And so here we have this picture of physical death and spiritual death, right? This is part of it. This is part of the first Adam. And you and I have to come to grips with this. And you and I have to come face to face with this, because we are descendants of the first Adam. We are this morning. Even if we are Christians this morning, even if we are in living relationship with Jesus, which we're going to talk about, we're going to move to that very quickly, we are nevertheless descendants of the first Adam. And so we see what happened to Seth is the same thing that has happened to every single person since then, except Enoch, who walked with God. And we've talked about that before. In choosing independence from God, his creator, his source of life, his father, now Adam had who as his father? Don't answer this question. Those of you who are married, and you think about your in-laws. We have this joke in the U.S. Sometimes we call them our outlaws instead of our in-laws. And maybe some of you have experienced that as well. Imagine having as your in-law the devil. Who was Adam and Eve's father before sin? God was, right? And remember, we've read before in Luke the genealogy of Jesus, and Adam was the son of God. Even though God made him, he was the son of God. But when they chose the one act of disobedience, they gave up God as their father, and the devil became their father. You say, well, that's a little harsh, Pastor. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Do you remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees, who were very religious, who were very righteous? He said to them, you're of your father, the devil. Well, if I don't have the last Adam, I'm of my father, the devil, also. And so are you. Imagine this. And this is the only family into which anyone could ever be born, because the first Adam had put us into that family. They've put us into that family. So what are God's options? God could have said, I am really disappointed in Adam and Eve. They've blown it when I was so good to them. Let me kill them now. They will go to hell. They'll be there forever, but at least that'll be it, and that'll be the end of it. They'll be doomed eternally. They'll be in hell with their father, but at least it's all over with. He could have done that. Or he could have said, okay, I'll show a little bit of mercy. I'm not going to kill Adam and Eve. I'm just going to let them live, and then one day they'll die, and then they'll go to hell, and all of the children after them will go to hell. That was the second option, right? There really, if you're going to be fair, there aren't a lot of options in the natural. But there was one other option, and this is the option that God chose. And God set in motion a costly plan that would involve his sacrifice and would involve his only son coming to earth to buy back, to redeem man, to redeem creation, and all of God's likeness in man that had been broken in the fall, it would be now restored. It would be now restored. And this is what God chose. Friendship with God would be restored. Holiness, so that man could have a relationship with God, would be restored. A life-giving relationship would be restored. All of these things would be restored. But because God is God and his creation is what it is, this plan could only be victorious. This plan could only be filled out if it was regained in the same way that it was lost. Brothers and sisters, no other option, no shortcuts in God's plan, no way to do it this way or that way. That's what Satan offered Jesus, the last Adam. And Jesus said, no, I will do it God's way, because that is the only way to fully regain what the first Adam lost in the garden. It would have to be regained in the same way it was lost, through free will, through choice, through obedience. I hope this is speaking to your hearts this morning. In the same way it was lost, it would be regained. And that is why the last Adam, Jesus, had to come. There was no other way. God wouldn't wave a magic wand from heaven. It wouldn't work that way. But just as the first Adam lost everything through disobedience and independence from God, the last Adam would come, and through perfect obedience and through perfect dependence upon God, would regain everything for you and for me. There was no other way. He would have to come to earth in a physical body. Why? Because the first Adam lost it in a physical body. He would have to come to earth and live in the same way that the first Adam had lived, with dependence upon God, not living above the ground and receiving some sort of special help from God because he was the Son of God, so that he could defeat the devil's work in the world. That would be cheating. And God never cheats. God never cheats. It would have to be in the last Adam that would come and walk this earth, the same earth from which the first Adam had been born, from which the first Adam had come. The last Adam would have to do the same way. The last Adam would have to face temptation just as the first Adam had faced temptation. The last Adam would have to depend on God to overcome temptation in the same way that the first Adam failed to depend on God and lost to temptation and lost everything for us. This is why the last Adam had to come. Where the first Adam had disobeyed, the last Adam, Jesus, would have to choose, I will obey you no matter what the cost. It was our only chance. And I've been praying for you all week that this is speaking to your heart, especially as we come into Easter. You know, I used to really blame Adam. Have you ever blamed Adam? I like to say, if only Adam hadn't, blah, 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 because of Adam, I have this, I have that. And then I look at myself and I think about how many times I've blown it, even knowing what Adam did not know. And I like to blame Adam. But you know what? I can't have it both ways, nor can you. Because just as in the first Adam, sin spread to everyone, in the last Adam, salvation, deliverance, forgiveness, holiness, and life spreads to everyone. Look with me at Romans 5:19. For just as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. That's you and me there, brothers and sisters, through Jesus. So I've stopped blaming Adam. And instead, I've started thanking Jesus. Amen? Let's start thanking Jesus instead for what he has won for us. Adam passed on to his offspring all that he was, a sinner separated from God and life, an enemy to God because of his sins, a heart bent towards self-will and independence from God. Because we are Adam's descendants, our hearts are prone, are they not? Because we are descendants of Adam, our hearts are bent. Our wills are strong for ourselves. But praise God for the last Adam who has come and given us another way and has opened the door to life. And when the last Adam came, he was going to have to live victoriously on earth. He was going to have to go to the cross to pay for the first Adam's sin. But that wasn't going to be enough. He was going to have to then rise from the dead, so that his risen victorious life would also be our risen victorious life. Amen? This is what the last Adam was going to have to do. In Adam, we are so aware of our inheritance. But oh, brothers and sisters, let us be more aware of our inheritance through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Corinthians 5:21. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Is it completed yet? Nope, it's begun. It will be completed one day. Verse 22, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Do you belong to Christ this morning? You have been given new life. And a little bit later this morning, we're going to talk about what that new life means for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The first Adam and Eve listened to lies, looked at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, lusted for its fruit, and chose what they wanted. The last Adam refused the lies through the power of the Spirit and the powerful truth of the Word of God, which you and I have today. You and I have the same provision that the last Adam had, do we not? We have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the truth of God's Word. These are the two things upon which the last Adam depended in this world. And you and I have that as well. It wouldn't be fair if Jesus had something that we didn't have. Well, he's got the secret weapon. He has lived and died and risen again from the dead that we might have the same resources that he had to live victoriously against sin and against the appeal of the tree of knowledge in his life. Remember what Jesus said in the garden, and we know this so well. My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Remember, Adam and Eve wanted their will, right? They looked at the fruit and they said, oh, that looks good. I'll bet it's delicious. And if I eat it, I'm going to be like God. It's what they wanted. Jesus chose another way in the garden. And he said, I want to escape suffering. I want to go in another way. I don't want to go through this death. I don't want this sin upon me. I don't want to be separated from you. All of the things that Adam just said yes to without understanding, Jesus said, oh, he understood the cost of it, didn't he? And he said, if there's any other way, please, another way. But supreme over that, I want your will. I want your will. This is the perfect prayer of the last Adam. It is the prayer that you and I must have if we are also to live victoriously. The writer to Hebrews says something. Look with me. He's talking with Jewish people about the sacrifices of bulls and goats that they had been using. And then he records the words of Jesus. Look with me at this. As you think about not my will but yours be done and what Jesus offered to the Lord, offered to his Father. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. Why was Jesus given a body to offer? Jesus was given a body to offer because the first Adam sinned in his body, that first body. And the last Adam had a body also. And that last body was going to have to be bent to the will of God instead of to self-will. Verse 7 says, then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures. For God's will, verse 10, was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. It took Jesus's the victorious life of Jesus walking in this earth. It took the sacrificial death of Jesus bent to the will of Father upon the cross. It took the resurrection of the dead because death could not hold him. It took all of this that you and I might be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Why must we be made holy? Because we can have relationship with God in no other way. My offerings will not make me holy. My good deeds will not make me holy. My acts of kindness and sacrificial giving, all of these things, they will not make me holy. Though they can be pleasing to the Lord, though they can bless others and do good, what will make me holy is the sacrifice of Jesus through his body, and that will make me right with God. That will restore relationship with God. That is why church membership is not enough. That is why church attendance is not enough. It requires accepting into our hearts and into our lives the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ that we might be made holy, that we might be restored to fellowship and relationship with God. Remember what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? When the first Adam sinned, what happened? God said, you have to leave the garden. and fellowship was broken. Relationship was broken. And it was two things. I want you to think about it. We sometimes use these words somewhat interchangeably, but in fact, they are different. The relationship with God was the life-giving relationship. God is my Father that Adam and Eve had in the garden. God is my Father. In relation to Him, I have life, body, soul, and spirit. But there was another part of that as well. And there was the fellowship with God, wasn't there? When God would come down in the cool of the evening and walk with Adam and Eve and have friendship with them. And through the sacrifice of the last Adam, not only can we have relationship restored with the God who gives us life, no other way, but we can have friendship and fellowship with the God who wants to be friends with us. That's why it says in other places, we're friends of God. Abraham was called a friend of God through the, in faith, what Jesus Christ would do. And this is what God wants for us. Amen? Amen. The first Adam sinned in his body. Jesus, the last Adam in his body, said, I've come to do not my will, but your will. Your first son, Adam, disobeyed. I, the last Adam, will obey. Aren't you glad for the last Adam? Amen. Aren't we glad for the last Adam? Now, I don't know about you, but when I read these words of Jesus, I immediately think of another verse and another passage. And for me, that is in Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're just going to look at Romans 12, 1. Jesus says, you've given me a body, and I give this body as a sacrifice. Then Paul writes, sorry, I didn't give you all of that, verse 10. Let's read it again while we've got it there on the screen. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. That's why you don't have to keep giving sacrifices. That is why, beloved, you don't have to reenact the pain and the suffering of Jesus Christ as many do when they are beaten again or choose to be nailed to a cross as some do. And I don't say that in mockery in any way. It's an expression of devotion. But beloved, Jesus paid the price so that we don't have to. He paid our price, and we don't have to go through that. And Jesus took care of it once. Amen. And so for me, when I look at this, I immediately think, as I said, of the words of Paul in Romans 12, 1. See if this does not ring in your heart as you think of what Jesus did and the words that he said. Romans 12, 1, Paul urges us. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I urge you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. They are a living and holy sacrifice, pleasing to God. This is truly the way to worship him. Doesn't that ring in your heart as you think about what Jesus said? You've given me a body, and that body was for the will of God. And then Paul says to us, honor the Lord with your bodies. Present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to him. This is how we worship him. In the same way that the last Adam worshiped his father, we too, in our way, are to worship our father. Now, you know, when we think about this, sometimes we think, I don't know about you, let me tell you about me. I tend to think, yeah, but that was Jesus. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that? I have. Yeah, but that was Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Yeah, that was Jesus. You're right. That was Jesus. But I want us to look at some verses that will show us why, that will wash over us and show us why what Jesus did helps us to do what he has called us to do in his way. Because you see, this life that Jesus, this last Adam, provided for us is a life that, just as we inherited from the first Adam, from the last Adam, we inherit life through Jesus, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, that helps me to say no to temptation, right? Did Jesus say no to temptation? What life lives in you this morning? Jesus' life. The Jesus life that we inherit is the life that said in the last garden, not my will, but yours be done. The Jesus life that we inherit from the last Adam is the life that said, Father, forgive them. They don't really know what they're doing. Do you struggle with forgiveness at times? I do. We do, don't we? And yet the Jesus life in us is the life that as he hung on the cross, naked, bleeding, suffering, said to them, forgive them, forgive them. That's life that's in you this morning. The Jesus life that we have inherited is the life that loved and accepted sinners. The Jesus life that we have inherited is the life that fully lived out God's good and perfect will. Brothers and sisters, this is the life of Jesus in you this morning. It is appropriated to you and to me through the mediation of the Holy Spirit because of the sacrifice of Jesus. But it can't be my way and you, and it can't be the first Adam's way and the last Adam's way. It can't be my way and God's way, can it? It can't be. It's going to have to be one or the other. You want to be miserable? Try to have both in charge in your life. I've tried it. Take my word for it if you haven't tried it. It's miserable, and there's no victory there. There's no victory there. And so I say no to the first Adam life in me, that first Adam. And I say yes to the last Adam life in me. Look with me, Galatians 2:20. Beautiful, beautiful. My old self has been crucified with Christ. What? I thought Jesus was crucified. I thought the last Adam was crucified. Why do I have to be crucified? Why? Because the first Adam has to die, right? It has to die. And so my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, beloved, get this picture. How did the first Adam live in the garden before he sinned? He lived in dependence upon God. He lived in the provision of God. He lived with the life of God until he sinned and chose his own way. How do you and I, after the last Adam, Jesus, has won victory for us and brought his life in our life through his death and resurrection, how do we live? We live in the same way that the last Adam lived. We live in the same way that the first Adam lived before he sinned. What does it say? Christ is living in me. God breathed into them the breath of lives, life from God. That's how I'm going to live. How else am I going to keep on going? I'm going to keep on going through dependence upon God. What does he say? So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God. There again, there's the dependence upon God, right? In the same way that Adam and Eve depended on God for everything. In the same way that the last Adam lived in this earth and defeated all temptation. Why? Through depending upon God. That's how you and I also will make it. The restoration of life through dependence upon God. Romans 6:6-7. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. That's why Jesus had to die, and that's why we identify with Jesus. That's why baptism is so important. It's a physical, outward symbol that shows that old Adam, the first Adam, he's dead in my life, but the last Adam is alive. Hallelujah. This is the life I live. Praise the Lord. We are no longer slaves to sin. This morning, if you are still a slave to sin or believing the lies of the enemy, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and let his life be renewed in your life. He lived, he died, he rose again, that you might no longer be a slave to sin. Hallelujah. Verse 7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. He identified with us that we might identify with him. You've been set free. Amen. Amen. But maybe you've been listening to the lie of the enemy that says you're still bound. You're still chained. Jesus said, I've come for freedom. I've come to set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He goes on further. Romans 6, 12 through 14. Just let these flow over you. I know these are a lot of verses, and I took out so many of them. But these, just let them flow over you this morning for the resurrection and the last Adam life of Jesus in you. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. It's so hard. Yes, it's hard, but the last Adam's life is in you. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. How do we do that? How do we overcome? Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Some of us haven't given ourselves completely to God, have we? We've given a little bit to God, but we're still holding on some for ourselves. You want sin defeated in your life? Give yourself wholly, completely, body, soul, spirit to God. Put yourself in God's hands. Let the life of Jesus live fully through you. This is one of the reasons every month we're taking time to corporately as a church to fast and pray together. You know what happens when we fast and pray and give ourselves to the Lord? The old life is killed and the life of Jesus becomes stronger in our lives. Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God, just as Jesus did. And verse 14 says, sin is no longer your master. Now, if you want to stay with the first Adam, sin is your master. But the last Adam defeated sin, and we are victorious in him. Romans 8, 15 and 16. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. You've received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. What was the first Adam? The son of God. And then he blew it. And who became his father? The son of the devil. But God, through Jesus Christ, has brought us back into his family. Here's the restoration. Here's the restoration by the last Adam of what was lost by the first Adam. And we are brought back again into the family of God. For his spirit joins with our spirit to say, hey, hey, listen, you're God's child. You belong to God. When the devil says, huh, you are this and you are that, listen to the voice of the Spirit in you. Because he says, what? You're God's child. You're God's child. The last Adam's life is living in you. And the last Adam is the Son of God. Hallelujah. And his is the life that lives in us. Therefore, if his life is in you, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. God is your Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2. I wanted to read so many verses in Ephesians. I cut out so many of them. But look at this. Here's the old life and the new life. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. That's when you and I were first Adam, right? That's when that was the only thing we had. And then what does he say? You used to live in sin. Yep, I did. Yep, I did. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. All of us, and then Paul very quickly says, hey, not just you, but me too. Okay. Hang on. Okay, there we go. Paul says, not just you, but me too. I too, I did the same thing. We followed the nature, our desires and our inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. Why? Because God hated us? No, God hates sin. God hates sin. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. This is why Jesus had to rise from the dead. Not just go to the grave and pay for our sins. He had to rise from the dead. That was the completed work. That was the full work. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, seated us with him. And then verse 10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. Think with me. Oh, do you sometimes not feel like a masterpiece? Mwausi. I do not feel like a masterpiece sometimes. But you know what God says of you and of me? Because of the last Adam, you are my masterpiece. Remember that first masterpiece? Taken from the dust of the earth, perfectly formed, the life of God breathed into him, all those lives breathed into him, a perfect masterpiece. But then the last Adam comes, and his life is in us. And beloved, this morning, because of the last Adam living in you, you, You are God's masterpiece. You say, well, I don't feel like it. God's not finished with you yet. He's making everything beautiful, and you are his masterpiece. Hey, I didn't write Ephesians 1, verse 10. God the Holy Spirit wrote it. I'm just telling you what he said. He created us anew in Christ Jesus. And when he looks at us, he doesn't see broken and imperfect. He sees the last Adam in you. Perfect. Perfect. Created anew so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He restores his image in man. He restores his purpose for man. This is what the last Adam did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to stop there this morning. We're going to, next week I'm going to change the message just a little bit. We're going to look at this last, but I want us to stop here for now. Do we still struggle? Yes, we do. We struggle because this old body is still with us until Jesus comes again. It's with us. It's with us. We still face the tree of knowledge every day, don't we? We do, don't we? We have to choose every day. We have to decide every day. But beloved, we also have through Jesus the tree of life every day. And this is a tree from which we keep eating through grace. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I'm living water. Jesus said, I am the eternal bread that has come down from heaven. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And because of his sacrifice and grace applied to our hearts, aren't you thankful that now a slip up, a sin, a failing on our part does not slam the door shut to the tree of life? But because of Jesus, we have relationship with God. We have friendship with God. Will it be a struggle? Sure, it'll be a struggle. Will it be a battle at times? Sure, it will be. We're not in heaven yet. We're not in heaven yet. But Jesus, the life of Jesus, the last Adam in us, provides what we need to overcome in the same way that he did. Hallelujah. Let this truth burn in your heart and in your thoughts as we come into Holy Week. As we think about what Jesus did, I urge you, go back and read again through the Gospels and read about what the last Adam did that we might have his life in our life. Amen. Let's close in prayer this morning. Would you respond to the Holy Spirit, what he is saying to you this morning, the area of your life that he wants to deal with this morning, the provision that he has for you in whatever particular area that you are struggling with, the freedom that you need as you understand the truth that we've talked about this morning in your life, that you might be free from the lies of the enemy, who's just a liar. Jesus is the truth. Jesus, we come to you this morning, our King. Hosanna, Hosanna. We are so grateful and we are so thankful, and we come to you as we are. We come to you as we are. You didn't tell us to clean up before we came to you. We come to you as we are, and you give us, as we submit to you, more of yourself and more of your life. Speak to our hearts this day, and prepare our hearts throughout this week, through the time of waiting upon you in prayer and fasting for some of us through Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then as we come and as we gather together on Resurrection Sunday to celebrate the last Adam that is alive forevermore, that we too might be alive forevermore. In the name of Jesus, our last Adam, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.